Have you ever found yourself, just staring at a ballot initiative, maybe feeling that bit of information overload, wondering what's really at stake?
Oh, definitely. It happens all the time with these big local issues.
Exactly. And that's precisely what we're digging into today. The Mecklenburg County 1% sales tax referendum. You might hear it called the PAVE Act.
Right, PAVE stands for Projects for Advancing Vehicle Infrastructure Enhancements. Bit of a mouthful.
It is. So our mission in this deep dive is really to cut through the noise, unpack the details, and understand the arguments both for and against, especially thinking about towns like Matthews. We've looked at insights from various sources, including a Matthews Board of Commissioners candidate, Carrie Lamson, plus community reports on the PAVE Act itself, all to help you make a really informed decision this November.
And what's fascinating here, I think, is how this one referendum tries to tackle these huge regional challenges, but at the same time, it sparks some very specific, very local concerns.
Yeah, that tension is key. It shows how these big plans land differently depending on where you are.
It really does. It kind of highlights that regional benefit isn't always a smooth, even thing for every single community. It's about balancing needs.
That balance is exactly what we need to explore. So let's start right at the beginning. What exactly is this referendum asking voters to approve? What's the core proposal?
Okay, so at its heart, it's House Bill 948. That's the PAVE Act legislation. And what it does is it authorizes Mecklenburg County to put in place a 1 cent per dollar sales tax increase. So 1%.
Okay, 1%. And this is official now.
Well, the bill itself was signed into law by Governor Josh Stein back on July 1st, 2025. Then fast forward to August 6th, the county commissioners voted 6-1 to actually put it on the November ballot. So now it's up to the voters.
Right. The voters get the final say. So if it passes, we're talking about a significant tax increase. What kind of money does that translate to? And crucially, where is it all supposed to go?
Yeah, it's definitely not small change. If voters approve it, the local sales tax rate jumps from 7.25% to 8.25%.
Yeah.
Okay, and the projections. They estimate it could generate somewhere between, let's see, $19.4 billion and $25 billion. That's over 30 years.
Billion, with a B.
With a B, yeah. Annually, that's roughly $640 million.
Wow. Okay, so where does $640 million a year go?
This is the key part. The 60-40 split. 60% of that money goes to a brand new 27-member regional authority. It's called the Metropolitan Public Transportation Authority.
Okay, a new transit authority.
Exactly. Their job is funding mass transit, think trains, buses. The other 40% gets distributed every month to the eligible towns. You know, Charlotte, Cornelius, Davidson, Huntersville, Matthews, Mint Hill, Pineville.
And that 40% is specifically for
projects, local road projects in those towns.
Gotcha. So 60% regional transit, 40% local roads. What kind of big projects are we talking about on the transit side?
Well, the plan includes things like expanding the Red Line commuter rail, building part of the Silver Line, that's the east-west one,
okay,
extending the Gold Line streetcar, plus big investments in buses, microtransit, you know, those smaller on-demand services. And then, of course, road improvements countywide using that 40% piece.
So stepping back, this is more than just a tax, isn't it? It sounds like a fundamental shift.
It absolutely is. It's really about changing how regional infrastructure gets funded and managed, moving away from the current system, you know, with seats handling things, towards this new dedicated authority for transit, plus that guaranteed stream for local roads.
Okay, the scale is definitely huge.
Yeah.
So let's look at the arguments for this. Why are proponents saying voters should check yes?
Well, the main argument really boils down to growth in infrastructure. Mecklenburg County is just growing incredibly fast.
We feel it every day in traffic.
Exactly. Projections say maybe 50% growth by 2050. That's like adding 117 people every single day.
Wow.
And the argument is our current roads, our current transit, even with NCBOT funding, it just can't keep up.
Well,
so they say we need a modern connected system to attract businesses, attract talent, and just sustain this growth.
So it's partly about just managing the sheer number of people, but also about economic health.
Right. Those two go hand in hand. Proponents argue that better transit and roads mean less gridlock, faster, safer commutes, which helps businesses, helps people get to jobs. It fuels the economy.
Any specific examples of where it might help?
They point to corridors like NC51, US 74, John Street, places that are notoriously congested. The hope is this could ease some of that pressure.
Okay, what else do they say?
Another big one is federal funding. This local money, this 1% tax, it positions the county to go after huge federal grants, matching funds.
So it unlocks other money.
Exactly. Money we likely wouldn't get without showing this kind of local commitment. Billions in potential federal aid could depend on this.
And what about the fairness aspect? Does everyone benefit?
Proponents argue yes, especially for equity. They say better transit really helps lower-income workers, shorter commutes, access to more jobs across the county. And they also want to attract riders of choice, people who could drive but choose transit because it's a good option. Plus, that 40% for towns is crucial.
Right, the local road money.
Yeah. Take Matthews, for example. They could get maybe $5, $6 million a year just for their local roads, sidewalks, lighting, bike paths. That's around $150 million over the 30 years, not adjusted for inflation.
Which saves them from having to raise taxes locally for the same things.
Precisely. The argument is generating that same $5, $6 million locally would require something like a 25% property tax hike in Matthews.
Oof.
Okay, so the overall yes argument frames this not just as a cost, but as a really critical, maybe even generational investment to avoid gridlock getting worse and to keep the economy strong.
And there's one other point proponents often make about who actually pays this tax, right?
Yes, that's important. They emphasize that a pretty significant chunk of sales tax revenue comes from visitors, people commuting in from outside the county to work or shop.
So it's not just Mecklenburg residents footing the entire bill.
Correct. The burden is spread more broadly across everyone who uses the county's roads and economy, not just the people who live here full time.
Okay, that covers the yes case pretty well. But of course, there's another side to this. What are the major concerns? Why are people urging a no vote?
Probably the biggest concern you hear is the regressive nature of a sales tax.
Meaning it hits lower income folks harder.
Exactly. Because people with lower incomes spend a larger percentage of their money on basic goods that are subject to sales tax. So that extra 1% takes a bigger bite out of their budget proportionally.
Are there estimates on that impact?
Yeah, Charlotte projected maybe 132 dollars extra per year for low-income households, $240 for average ones. Matthews estimated it could be higher there, maybe $370 to $500 per household per year.
And that's on top of other recent increases.
Right. Property taxes have gone up, fees. So this adds another layer. Overall, it might average out to around $500 per person per year across the county.
Okay, so the tax burden is a major point. What else?
Another big one is the scope and, frankly, the perceived inequity of the plan. This is where the Matthews issue really comes into focus.
The silver line.
The Silver Line East, yeah. Their board of commissioners opposed the plan because that light rail extension to downtown Matthews got swapped out for bus rapid transit, or BRT.
And they feel BRT isn't the same.
Many there see it as inadequate, not the same level of service or economic catalyst as rail. So the feeling is Matthews residents pay the tax but don't get the major transit project they were counting on while funding rail elsewhere.
That definitely sounds like a point of friction. Are there other concerns about the plan itself?
Some people question the efficiency or the return on investment for certain parts, like microtransit, for instance. It can be flexible, but the cost per ride can be quite high compared to traditional buses.
So if you don't use transit much, and the road money doesn't directly fix your commute.
The personal benefit might feel pretty small compared to the extra tax you're paying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what about that 60-40 split? Is that set in stone?
It is, and that's another criticism. That rigid 60-40 formula might not fit the county's needs 10 or 20 years from now. Priorities change, right?
Right.
There was that quote from a former Charlotte mayor pro tem, kind of quipping, it's like giving a dehydrated person a gallon of milk.
Meaning it helps, but maybe isn't exactly what's needed most.
That's the idea. It points to a fear that this fixed split lacks the flexibility to really target the biggest problems as they evolve.
Any impact on businesses?
There's some concern, particularly for small businesses selling, higher priced items. An 8.25% sales tax could make them less competitive compared to businesses just across the county line where taxes might be lower.
Okay. And broader societal impacts. Equity concerns.
Yes, definitely. There's skepticism about whether the benefits, especially from the transit side, will truly reach low-income and minority communities equally.
Based on past experiences, maybe.
Sometimes, yes. Past projects have faced criticism for not serving all areas well. And there's always a worry that new rail lines can drive up housing costs and potentially displace residents if there aren't strong, affordable housing protections built in.
Gentrification concerns.
Right. And finally, there are just general uncertainties. The sheer scale means implementation will be slow. There are questions about government efficiency managing billions. what happens if it fails, there isn't really a clear plan B, potentially putting us back at square zero.
And things have changed since some of these plans were first drawn up.
Absolutely. Post-pandemic travel patterns are different. How many people will actually ride the new transit? There are a lot of unknowns.
It really brings up that question. Is the guaranteed road money enough to outweigh all these other concerns about the tax, the equity, the long-term transit vision?
That's the core tension for many voters, I think.
Let's zoom back in on Matthews for a minute, because it does seem to capture so many of these trade-offs. What's their specific situation?
Matthews is such a good case study here. Okay, so they do get that 40% road money, that $5, $6 million a year. That's significant for them. But the huge sticking point, as we said, is no new light rail. The Silver Line East isn't coming to their downtown as rail.
And they have major traffic issues already.
Oh, absolutely. Think about this. 93% of working residents leave Matthews every day for work, and 95% of the people who work in Matthews commute into town daily.
That's incredible crossover. How many people is that?
It's over 30,000 people driving in or out daily, and a lot of them are going long distances, over half commute, more than 10 miles.
And they're running out of room to build more roads.
Pretty much. The town's mostly built out, only about 15% vacant land left. Infrastructure is already strained from growth over the last, say, 10, 15 years.
And cost of living is an issue, too.
Yes, housing costs are high. A large chunk of both renters, around 40%, and homeowners, about 25%, are cost-burdened, meaning housing takes up too much of their income.
Plus, those big roads around them aren't even town roads, right?
Correct. Key corridors like I-485, US 74, NC-51, John Street, those are mostly NCDOT roads. So making local improvements is tricky, and relying on state or federal money has been, well, unreliable.
So they passed their own bond for roads recently.
They did. $21 million back in 2023 for local projects.
But this PAVE Act money will be a huge addition on top of that.
A really significant boost. Again, that $5, $6 million a year is like getting a 25% property tax increase worth of revenue without having to actually raise property taxes that much.
So for Matthews, it's this real trade-off. Get substantial road funding, but lose the hope for light rail connection.
Exactly. It perfectly highlights how a big regional plan can create these very specific local points of friction and, you know, feelings of inequity, even if the overall goal is regional improvement.
Okay, so we've covered the plan, the pros, the cons, the local impact. What does this all mean for you, the listener, the voter, trying to decide? How do you weigh all this?
Yeah, it's tough. There's no single right answer, obviously. But based on what we've discussed, maybe here are some questions you can ask yourself.
Okay.
First, what's the economic impact on your household? How much extra sales tax might you pay? You know, roughly $1 extra for every $100 you spend on taxable goods. But remember to factor in that offset from visitors and commuters.
And weigh that cost against potential benefits.
Right. Does that cost outweigh any savings you might see from, say, spending less on gas or maybe shorter commute times if traffic improves or you use transit?
What about your own travel habits?
Think about that. Do you rely on public transit now, or could you see yourself using it if it were expanded, especially the planned roads? Or are you primarily a driver?
In which case, that 40% for local roads might be more appealing.
Exactly. Safer streets, sidewalks, maybe easing traffic near your home or work. Then there's the bigger picture. Do you think our current system can handle the growth that's coming?
Is this a necessary generational investment, as proponents call it?
Or do you prefer smaller, more incremental fixes? How do you feel about the plan serving all communities fairly? Are you concerned about potential gentrification and rising housing costs near new transit lines?
And trust in government comes into play, too.
It does. How much confidence do you have in this new appointed transit authority board to manage billions of dollars effectively and make good decisions over 30 years.
And it's important to remember, this vote is all or nothing, isn't it?
Absolutely crucial point. If it fails, that specific pot of money, that structure, it doesn't happen. The massive new transit plan is likely off the table, and we're back to figuring out how to fund these needs piece by piece.
Which raises that final dilemma you mentioned earlier.
Right. In a region that's undeniably facing huge growth and infrastructure pressure, is holding out for a perfect plan going to cost us more in the long run than maybe accepting a plan that's good, even if it has flaws? Is good the enemy of perfect here?
That's a heavy question to weigh.
Yeah.
We have definitely taken a deep dive today into this Mecklenburg County 1% sales tax referendum. We've hit the details, the arguments for, the concerns against.
Yeah, we've seen it's really not just about a tax. It's about a vision for the future. How do we balance growth, infrastructure, economic opportunity, equity? Mm-hmm. How do regional needs mesh with local priorities?
So as you think ahead to November, the question for you, the voter, goes beyond just the numbers. Ask yourself, what kind of Mecklenburg County do you want to see in 10, 20, 30 years? And how does this single question on your ballot help shape that future?